Welcome to episode 395 of Japan Top 10 Indie Artist Interview number 9, featuring Haruna and Chaops One. I'm your host, Edward.
And I'm Dean.
Let's get into it. Japan Top 10. Guess that remains to be seen. But for now, that's what it is. All right. So, Dean, you interviewed Haruna. How did it go?
It was great. Yes. We really clicked. Actually, weird. It was great, yeah. Nice. Yeah, so the interview was in Japanese. So, like I did a few episodes ago, I'm going to be doing a translation in the best, you know, British Broadcasting Commission style. In my best British Broadcasting Commission style, anyway.
I love that.
As close as I can get it.
Very NPR of you. That's great.
Right. NPR, yes, that's right. That's the North American version of it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
How was yours?
It was good. It was real good. Yeah, it went well. Chaops One is great. I spoke with Goran and with Eileen, who is a vocalist that has featured a lot on their works, which is great. And it's been really nice to talk with the band and find out a bit more about them. We'll get into that with the interview. But the interesting thing is actually Goran, who's like the original member of the band,
yeah,
he started it back in 2006, and then they've been re-recording stuff now, well, since last year. So it's kind of this really neat thing where it's you going back to revisit old stuff, but make it new and exciting. It's really cool.
Wow, that's really cool. You don't hear about that much, do you? Not many artists do that. They kind of do their thing and then they put it away.
Exactly. But I mean,
and move on.
Yeah. But no, it was really neat to see. I mean, like, you get into the whole idea of, like, you know, owning your masters and all that stuff. We didn't talk about that. That's like a whole thing too. So in the recording world, usually when you record something, especially back in that time period, 2006, it's usually a record company. So it's really interesting to we talk a bit about that. Why don't we get into some announcements?
Japan Top 10 will be hitting its 400th episode in October.
Yay!
Yay! Doesn't seem like that long since the 300th episode. Wow. Mm-mm. Want to participate in our 400th episode? Check out our website for details on how you can participate. Deadline is October the 1st, 2021, to participate.
A lot of participation, because participation makes it happen.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Our annual 2021 listener survey is out, so if you can give us 5 minutes of your time to let us know how we can improve, we can give you a chance to win a $100 USD, so US dollar gift card, to a retailer of your choice. Visit our website at jtop10.jp for more details. September is your last month, so this month right now, when we're recording, and when this will be released, to enter and win, so go do it.
You've only got a few weeks left.
Mm-hmm.
Want to advertise on our podcast? Market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts. Reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that will fit your company's budget. Find the full details at jtop10.jp to find out an advertising plan that will suit your company's needs.
Want to join our team? We've got open positions currently that need to be filled. Join the biggest and best Japanese music-based podcast out there. Check out our website at jtop10.jp/join for details.
Are you an indie band or artist that makes Japanese music and looking to be featured on our podcast? Reach out to our music director, Haley, by sending her an email at haley@jtop10.jp. That's haley@jtop10.jp. We may feature you on a future episode. See our website at jtop10.jp for more information.
And if you, well, you obviously love our dulcet tones of Dean and I talking to you.
Yeah.
People that maybe have not thought about this, but you should consider this because you could hear this announcement ad-free. Consider joining our Patreon Zoner Club starting at just $1 a month. Visit jtop10.jp/club for the details and all the great benefits of being a part of our Patreon club. But you get to miss out on us speaking to you. So, you know, that's a trade-off. But we appreciate your support. Mm-hmm. So, Dean, why don't you tell us a little bit about Haruna so we can get into this wonderful interview? I'm so excited.
Haruna has a gentle, husky voice with a natural feel. She, early on in her career, she was slated to be the Japanese, or encouraged to become the Japanese Nora Jones. So she's got that kind of feel to her voice there. Yeah, and she actually met Nora Jones. But I'll let her tell you about that. She is a perfectionist with sound production, which you will hear when you hear her songs. Fantastic production. And her music mirrors the Japanese term wabi-sabi, a worldview centered on the acceptance of imperfection. Haruna records at home using many different live instruments. And last year, in 2020 alone, she released 6 singles and 1 full album. It is prolific, yeah, yeah. And they are all available on Spotify, Apple Music, and your other favorite music streaming services. And in addition to her own work as an artist, Haruna has also sung and provided music for various commercials and films. And she also works as a backing vocalist for other well-known artists, but she'll tell us more about that. Today, I'm very pleased to have the opportunity to speak to singer-songwriter Haruna. Thank you for taking the time to meet with me today. How would you describe your recording process? Previously, I was working with an arranger called Shunya Shimizu. I would record piano and vocal guide tracks for my songs at home and send them to him. He would do the instrumental arrangements for me, and then I would go and record the final vocal tracks. So my main role in the recording process was to go to his house and record the vocals, and we would discuss the arrangements of the vocal harmonies and guitar lines and work together to complete the song. What is your songwriting process? I don't have a broad knowledge of music theory, so my songs mainly come from writing about how I feel. If I'm hurt, feel sad, or feel happy in my private life, I will put those feelings into my songs as they come to me. And when I don't have a song idea, I watch foreign dramas to get inspiration. Which foreign dramas are you watching? I'm watching Gossip Girl. Also, Korean dramas are currently popular in Japan. I didn't really like them at first, but I thought I'd try and watch them, and now I'm binge-watching. I get butterflies in my stomach when I watch them. I watch Korean dramas too. I'm not into love stories, but I enjoy action and police dramas. So it's a worldwide phenomenon. That's right. You said that you get inspiration from watching foreign dramas. Do you draw any inspiration from other media, such as books or poems? I don't read books that much. Visual media has more impact on me than the written word. But I really love manga and anime, and I get a great deal of inspiration from them. I also go to art galleries and look at artworks on Instagram, and I think about how artists express their feelings through their art. I find that looking at other artists' work gives me inspiration. Do you have any moments in your music career that really shaped you as an artist? That's difficult. I first thought about writing songs when I was in senior high school. I loved singing, and my appreciation for music came from my mother. She is from the Philippines and grew up listening to Western music, and she used to regularly work as a singer a long time ago. She was the catalyst for me to want to get up on stage and sing. I started writing songs when I was in senior high school, but initially I wasn't really that interested in songwriting. I realized that it would be hard to make a living just as a singer, so my intention was to earn extra income from writing songs. So I started writing, and what has made me really happy as an artist is simply to be told that my song has brought comfort to someone. I receive all kinds of messages from fans telling me that they played one of my songs at the funeral of someone that they loved dearly. As someone passed away, as they were giving birth to a baby, at their wedding, or at other important life cycle events. When I hear this, it makes me feel happy that I'm an artist that has created something that people appreciate. What has been the best advice you've been given? Recently, I was told that it's best to be a late bloomer. Soon, I'm going to be 30 years old. I've been working in music since I was in my teens, and I've worked hard and had the chance to do many different jobs over the past 10 years, but I don't feel that I've had a major success in my career yet. There is a part of me that worries about my age and aspects of my life as a woman, but an older, very famous person that I know told me that life is much better when you become a success later in life. After a flower blooms, its petals will fall. But if you work towards your goal bit by bit, it doesn't matter if it takes time. And when your flower blooms, it is the happiest moment. So you should take your time. When I heard that advice, I thought that I had made the right choices in my career. Yes, there's no need to hurry. Repeating to yourself, I've got to do something. That's right. If I can tell you a little bit about myself, I work as a musician in London. I gave up my day job and took up music full-time when I was 42. Wow, that's amazing! And now I make a living exclusively out of music. Really? I'd given up on a lot of things, but when I hear something like that, I feel like there's still time. At 30, there's still time to do a lot of things. The entertainment industry in Western countries is slightly different, but in Japan, there is still a strong cultural element that expects female entertainers to be young. And once they are over 30, they are finished and are often dispensed of. I think that we are living at a time when people don't worry so much about age. I was excited to hear your story. Thank you. Continuing from the previous question, if you were talking to a younger version of you, what advice would you give yourself? I would tell myself to keep going as I am. I've never had any regrets about the past. I've never thought, I wish I had hurried a bit more at that time. I did everything that I could do at that time. So I would tell myself, if you have any worries, then just keep going, do your best, and move beyond them. That's good advice. A life without regrets is a good thing. Now we're going to go to a song. We're going to listen to Yoru ni Ukabu, Float at Night. Can you tell us a little bit about the song? This is connected to what we were just talking about. When you are following your dream, there are many times when you feel like giving up. When I was younger, I used to work tirelessly to achieve my dream. But I realized recently that as an adult, you think of your dreams in an adult way. In the song, there is a line that says, "Dreams are a journey. You should work hard to keep that thought burning in your heart and never let it go out." The song is a message to people who are following their dreams. Please enjoy. Thank you. And here is Yoru ni Ukabu, Float at Night, which was released on November 6th, 2020.
Thank you.
Who are your major influences? I have so many. When I was in senior high school, I joined an artist agency, and at that time I met Nora Jones. The agency strongly encouraged me to become the Japanese Nora Jones, and there was a time when I studied her music in detail, and as a result, my piano playing changed, so it was inevitable that she would be an influence on me. My mother always used to listen to the Carpenters, and they are also part of my musical roots. I also listen to Japanese popular music, and I like Ai Otsuka. I like her too. And Ayumi Hamasaki. And my favorite Japanese band is Spitz. They all have influenced me greatly. You have described your music as wabi-sabi. What made you want to create music in such a way? There was a time when I was thinking very carefully about how I could bring the best of myself into my music. When I started working with the arranger, Shunya Shimizu, he told me that by bringing the vocal to the forefront and varying the arrangement by using sparse instrumentation here and there, and raising the level of the beat in places, a sense of wabi-sabi can be created in the music. It evolved into that kind of sound from there. So from there, it naturally became that kind of sound? I don't think that we really thought about it that much. How did you get involved with creating music for commercials? I get requests for commercial music from another company, but when I was about 18, someone that I know put me in contact with the company, and I've regularly been getting work from them ever since. Working on commercials is totally different to creating your own music. How would you compare the two? Music for commercials is produced in a particular way, and as I'm hired mostly as a singer, I am told how to sing in a particular way, and I have to remove any kind of individuality in my singing and try not to sing with feeling. It's all about how quickly the song can be completed in the way that the client wants it done. Creating my own music is about how much feeling and how much of myself I can put into the song. The two processes are completely different. They're complete opposites. Yes, complete opposites. So you put all the feeling that you can't use in commercial songs into your own music. I put that frustration into my own songs. If you could collaborate with any other artist, who would it be? There are too many artists that I would like to collaborate with. I'll tell you one of my big dreams. I really love Billie Eilish. I love her view of life, and she has had a big influence on me. I would like Billie's brother, Phineas, to write a song for me. I have a lot of friends who are singers, and if I were to choose someone closer to me, I would choose Kei Owada, who I'm currently singing backing vocals for. And there is a wonderful singer called Sara Furukawa. I would like to collaborate with them. What genres or songs have you been listening to recently? Recently, I've been listening to Korean music.
Really?
Yes. I watched two or three Korean dramas and thought that the sound was beautiful. It's different from Japanese music, maybe because Japanese has a lot of vowels and it's difficult to apply rhythm to it. But Korean has a rhythm to it and feels closer to Western music. Lately, I've been looking around and there are lots of great Korean artists. Is there an artist that you can recommend? There is an artist called Rio, spelt R-I-O, that I really like. I've been thinking to myself that I'd like to write songs like hers. What are your plans for the future? Up until now, I've been working together with Shunya Shimizu, but one of my future goals is to create music with different people. Until now, I've built up a particular brand with my music, but I want to get rid of all that and collaborate with other musicians, whether as a singer, as a lyricist, or creating a melody, to produce a new kind of music that has never been heard before. I don't have a particular style in mind, I just want it to develop naturally. So would you like to collaborate with me? Really? As an international collaboration. A collaboration with someone in London. That would be a dream come true. If you could leave one message for your fans and our listeners, what would it be? I love you. I love you. Is that all? Really? Thank you for choosing my music and listening to it. It's hard enough to find an artist and then go on to enjoy the music after finding them. And I think that it's amazing that there are people who have found my music and listened to it. That's right. In these days of music streaming, when listeners have access to millions of songs. In a way, I think that this is a good era. Yes, people all over the world can listen to your music. I think that that's a good thing. But these days you can listen to whatever you want. And although so much feeling, experience, and hard work goes into completing just one song, it gets listened to and it's over in 2 or 3 minutes and it just gets washed away. But it makes me happy to think that someone has chosen to listen to my music. Where can people find you? On most music streaming subscription services like Apple Music, Spotify, and Amazon Music, and other streaming sites all over the world. And I have music up on YouTube. I have done some covers of Japanese songs on YouTube, where you can see me holding a mic and singing to a backing track. And my music videos are also up on my channel. You've put quite a bit of effort into creating music videos. Well, they didn't come out of a strong desire to make videos. We just talked about it, thought we'd give it a try, and made them. So they happen naturally. Yes, naturally. But I really enjoy making them. We're going to listen to one more song to finish off our interview, and it's Anata Nashi no Sekai, World Without You. Can you tell us about it? Lately, I've been writing so many songs that I've forgotten how they were written. World Without You was written when I was in a relationship with someone that I liked very much and they cheated on me. I was really hurt and I wrote the song really quickly. And although it started out as a song about how you hurt me, but I can't imagine a world without you, it gradually turned into a song about a woman's revenge. The song has a soft feel with toy-like sounds, but the lyrics say, women can be scary. I think that women can empathize with this song. And this is Anata Nashi no Sekai, World Without You by Haruna, released on 28th of May 2021. Thank you. Arigatou gozaimashita.
Arigatou gozaimasu.
プライドだけ捨てることができなくて、お互いわかっていたはずよ、愛するということを。
Wow, Dean, that was amazing. I learned so much. I'm blown away just by the sheer fact that she recorded 6 singles and a whole album during the pandemic is crazy to me. I mean, it makes sense though, because you were saying like she records at home, right? So
yeah, so she has an advantage because she's not part of a band. She's not a band. So but to be able to, you know, write that much and be that prolific, she's constantly writing. It's quite an achievement. You know, I manage an album every 5 years. So,
you know. I'm still working on releasing stuff, so I feel you. But the thing that really struck me the most, actually, was that whole music mirroring Wabi Sabi, because we're both musicians. Yeah. And listener, maybe you are too. Yeah. And if you're not, you might know what it's like, though, when you go to a concert or you see a performance of anything. Being live is a true gift because you're seeing the music happen right in front of you. No editing. It's just in the moment, raw, real, emotional. There's nothing like it. So, and it could be imperfect, too. Mistakes happen all the time. Mistakes happen all the time when I perform. I don't know about you, Dean.
Yeah.
So it's already inherently very Wabi Sabi, but I really like that she is embracing that, and she's doing it with intention, which is a really fascinating concept. So kudos to her. Good job, Haruna-san.
Yes. Yeah.
Although it's not to be confused with wasabi, right, Dean?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes, yes. Wabi-sabi is not to be confused with wasabi.
Too bad. I mean, both are spicy. Both are delicious, but one of them... I don't know where I was going with that joke.
One of them's a bit too spicy.
You're not a fan of wasabi, Dean?
No, I love wasabi. Yeah. Yes, but, you know, I don't like wasabi in the amounts that I enjoy...
nice.
If you know what I mean.
Way to bring it back. You know. That's good. I guess.
Right. Tell me about, what is it?
Cheops
1.
I know.
Cheops.
It took me a minute too. I was talking about them before I interviewed you. I was like, so is it Cheops? Cheops? What is it? And they're like, oh, it's Cheops. I'm like, okay, it's Cheops. So, Cheops 1 was formed in 2006 in Daruvar, Croatia, but then now they're in Germany.
Oh, right, yeah.
And originally the band was called Cheops, spelled K-E-O-P-S, but it was changed to Cheops with an H, K-H-E-O-P-S, and finally it's now Cheops 1 in 2020. So, Goran Vedris, who I interviewed for this interview, he met Marko Kovacevic, who was his original bandmate, in another cover band. They started doing covers together, and then they created Cheops 1 to create original songs in English. So it was kind of born out of necessity, which is kind of cool. And their influences are Deep Purple, Iron Maiden, Black Sabbath, Whitesnake, and more. So lots of hard rock, lots of metal. So the one single that we talk about, Future Obsessions...
No, you can do that, and I'll do the introduce the next episode.
Metal, heavy, hard rock aspect of it, which is kind of cool. And the other one, Sunshine, that we're going to talk about as well, is a bit more lighter, but we'll get into that in the interview. So the EP Silhouettes was a success with audiences, and it led them to create more original songs, including one of the songs we're going to hear, Sunshine.
Yes.
So Cheops...
Turn stage left.
They started re-recording their older music in 2020, and since then, they've started to see some momentum building on streaming services like Spotify, because now they're re-releasing music, and also it's during the pandemic, too. So it's really interesting actually to see all these artists thrive and succeed during a pandemic, and whether it's really re-releasing old music or re-recording or, you know, starting from recording in your home studio like Haruna did, it's really neat to see. So please enjoy this interview of K-Ops 1. I am with the band K-Ops 1, and I'm going to give a little bit of a background before we jump into our interview proper. So K-Ops 1 was formed in 2006 in Daruvar, Croatia, and originally the band was called K-Ops, but then it was changed to K-Ops with an H, and spelled K-H-E-O-P-S, and finally it's K-Ops 1 in 2020, and it continues to be like that, which is great. So Goran Vedris, who's with us today. Hey, Goran.
Hi. And hi.
We also have a featured singer, Eileen Mondragon. Oh, gosh. Hold on. Take two.
Mondragon.
Is it? Yeah, Mondragon. Okay, I'm so sorry.
Right.
I'm going to take that
right.
again.
Hi.
One sec. One moment. Ah, take two.
Yes.
All right. I'm awake. So we have Goran Vedris with us. Say hi, Goran. Nice to meet you.
Hi. Hi, guys.
Hey, so we also have Eileen Mondragon, who is a featured vocalist. Hi, Eileen. Nice to have you.
Hi. Nice for having us here. Thank you.
Yeah, you're most welcome. Thank you. So originally, Goran met with Marko Kovacevic in another cover band and created K-Ops 1 to create original songs in English. So
yes.
That would be, yeah, it's going to be really cool to talk about that. And your influences are Deep Purple, Iron Maiden, Black Sabbath, Whitesnake, a lot of hard rock, a little bit of metal in there, which is pretty cool. You guys released an EP, Silhouettes, and it was a huge success with audiences. And it's also led you guys to create more original songs, including Sunshine, which our listeners are going to hear later on today. And we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, actually, maybe Goran, you can speak this a little bit. You started re-recording some of your older music from like your early part of your career, and now you're re-releasing it. And now it's we're getting some momentum building on Spotify, which is pretty cool. So,
swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Why don't we actually launch into a bit of that? Why the choice to re-record your old stuff now?
Well, in Croatia, I started this like maybe 20 years ago. I came up with a lot of ideas. Mm-hmm. And then it was a little bit hard because, you know, Croatia is a poor country. And so it was complicated with money and everything. And around 7 years ago, I came to Germany. And I decided to restart it, to rework all the songs that I've ever written. Mm. And since then, I've got a lot of new ideas. And recently, I checked for the studio here very near. And I met Johannes Ten. He's a producer. He's actually professional. And we started working on the first song, that was Sunshine. And we recorded a lot of stuff, you know, we recorded almost everything. And then I said, we have to find someone who can sing it really well. And I was lucky enough to find Eileen.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love that. So Eileen, can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved in the project?
Yes. Goran made an announcement in Facebook at that time. And so I was searching and looking for in the streams in Facebook. And so I've seen his announcement. And so I answered him, if it's possible, can I hear some songs from you so we can get together? And then, so we get in contact after that. And I listened to his songs and he's asking for demonstrations of my voice. So I sent him also a few songs of mine. And so that's the time we get together. And since last year, we do my first single, our first single, The Sunshine. And that's the first time that I entered in this kind of genre, indie pop rock, just because usually before I was singing just the cover songs from ballad to disco and classic and soul music. And so I entered in this indie pop rock genre.
That's really interesting, actually. You're kind of switching gears a little bit and you're getting into more of like a harder rock kind of sound. But actually, that's good. I love that. Actually, it's funny though, because Goran and I were talking a little bit earlier. Sunshine is actually very radio friendly, kind of. It's like a more softer sound, which is interesting.
Yes.
Can you
interestingly, it's been 1 year, something like 1 year that we recorded it, and it's still being played around the world, which is amazing.
Wow, it's amazing.
It is.
With this song,
Sunshine, Goran had maybe a different definition of this song. Maybe he wrote it from where he came from, Croatia. You know, before Croatia is in Balkan area, there's not really not really good for peace, something like that. It's a little bit war there. So he wrote it in his definition. And if somebody were going to sing this song from my own, I tried to have it just like a sunshine that you're missing something in your life. So you can have it really different kind of emotions. You can put it in this song.
That's actually
very... for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really interesting because when I was listening to it, I was thinking a lot about COVID actually, and how
sunshine
is like the missing of people because we can't be around people that much. So it's so good.
I
mean, that's how you know it's a good song, because then it can transform into so many different things. I think that's amazing.
It is. That's why everybody can have a different kind of emotions to fix on it in this song. And everybody has a different meanings, how he delivered to this song, how it comes to them and something like that. So it's very wide range of lyrics, what you have, and also the melody of the song.
And actually the outro is very different too. It really does go everywhere. It's pretty neat. So let's take a listen to it right now. So this is Sunshine featuring Island Mondragon, released in 2020.
Sky has no limit when you're near it, brown eyes, sweet lips, my eyes catch on you. Ooh, sunshine, how I missed you. When gonna kiss you. Sunshine.
and that's where the track would go. Okay. And then we would come back.
Great!
Woo! All right.
Oh, cool!
Yeah. All right. So, let's see. How can we get back into it? Do you, obviously right now, because we're still in coronavirus times, sad to say, you guys, have you had any opportunities to perform at all together, like maybe virtually, or do you guys have plans to release something live? What are you guys thinking about the future? Because performing live is obviously the thing when it comes to being on a band, right?
Yeah, that's why actually I was lucky to find also a few Croatians, which was very funny. I didn't expect to find Croatians interested in this, but they sent me their emails and I talked to them. They were very, very interested in what I'm doing. So they came in for a rehearsal and we said we want to do this live, you know, because I have a lot of songs that are getting ready all the time. You know, I write a lot of music in between this, you know, my work and my other things that I do. Mm-hmm. So we started working on some new songs, and the idea is to get to play live. But it's very complicated because the people that I have now, some of them are only studio musicians, you know, and that's a problem. So we are looking for someone to replace the drummer, you know. And definitely, you know, our wish is to go and to perform. That's what every musician wants to do. That every, you know, everyone who wants to go somewhere with his music. That's what how I see it. And I think the others are also like that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. That's all anyone wants, I think, for sure. And even performing over, performing online too, isn't really quite the same. It's definitely, you're missing the energy exchange that you get from just being in the same room as like another person and like singing and performing. Yeah. It's very different. Yeah. So yeah, hopefully we can get back into that kind of a performance space soon. I would love to see you go to a concert.
Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
We're hoping for it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's also about, you know, this music that I write it's actually rock music. It's music for a live performance. And it has a lot of good melodies. It's very attractive in a way. So I also have a lot of friends who tell me all the time, why don't you make concerts? You know, where can we see you? Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it's complicated. You know, it's not very easy, especially in the COVID time. Mm. So at one point we will go and we will perform. I'm sure that.
I'm looking forward to it. Well, I mean, not that I'm in Germany, I'm in Toronto, but listeners, if you are in Germany, please go and check them out. Go find them. Go find Chaos One and definitely go watch a live show when it happens, because yeah, it's going to be good. I mean, the music's any indication. Like, I bet live, it's just going to be insane. So that's great. So speaking of actually playing things live, a lot of bands, when they start out, they start with a lot of covers and then they transition to original music. So Goran, that was like that for you. And actually Eileen, that was like that for you too, because you started singing, you did some covers and then you transitioned and you're singing original music. So can you guys talk a bit about how your journeys were going from doing covers into writing original music and performing original music?
Eileen, you want to go first, or?
Okay, thank you.
Ladies first.
Thank you. For me, singing such cover songs, it's a good start then, you know, because you get touch with the music. And as we are Filipinos, we love music. Mm-hmm. I think we were going to die if there's no music at all. And then, so covers coaxed me up to try some more things which really new to me then. That's why now I tried in this kind of genre, the indie pop rock. So I love to sing rock songs also. I love the group Foreigner with the new singers now, Ariel Pineda, from the Foreigner band. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to check out what it's really in my vocal science, which is good for me then. It suits for me. So I'm trying and make an experiment for that. And so I tried to sing this kind of songs, which is really amazing if somebody wrote it and you're going to go in the studio and record the song. And after all, the results of the songs, it's really amazing. And you can't even imagine, oh, it was me who was singing this song. Mm-hmm. And if you heard it in the radio, it's really an amazing feeling, wonderful feelings then. So I can't wait to be on stage to deliver all the songs, what we recorded in the studio, to deliver to the public, to the crowds. That will be the time maybe then that you really felt how it is you deliver the songs in front of the people. Mm-hmm. How their reaction is. That will be a really a goosebumps time, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Goran? How did you get your start? It was a long time ago, I know, but...
Yeah. Well, I actually played in church also. I was a choir chef, or I don't know how would you call him, a choir leader at one point. But that was maybe 16, 17 years ago. And then I started to play rock music. I started to, I found a few bands that I worked with. They were all cover bands, but I was never satisfied with this. I didn't feel like I'm home. And so that's why I told my friend I met, Marko Kovacevic, that's his name. I told him, look, we're going to end this cover songs thing, and we're going to start original song band. I'm going to write music. I have some ideas. We are going to go and we are going to record it in the studio. And we did it. To me, it was really cool. I had a lot of ideas. They were different. Interestingly, people liked it. I didn't expect anybody. I didn't care if anybody will like it. Not that much. But interestingly, we got a lot of interest even then, and that was a really good push for to go and just do that. Of course, we did play covers also, but not that much. We played a lot of original songs then, and it's been like 20 years or whatever. Maybe a little bit less, but it's still very interesting. For me, that wasn't that complicated.
That's really interesting, because I find a lot of artists, when I speak to them, it's either they're like, covers are all I have and that's what I'm gonna do, and like that's the lane I'm gonna stay in. And then you get people who are like, but I like originals are like my thing, like it's bursting out of me and I have to write something. So it's actually very interesting. A lot of the artists that we've been done interviews for, a lot of them are like songwriters as well, because they kind of have to do it all themselves. And what better there's no better expression or no better way to express yourself than for yourself, right? Only you can do it. So that's really fascinating stuff. And actually, back then, obviously 2021, we're in the year of streaming now. Lots of Spotify, YouTube, that kind of stuff. And 2006 is a totally different ball game. So how has it changed? How have you seen the change in the music industry from when you started in comparison to now, Goran?
Well, for me, it's much easier now, I think. Back then, but it's easier, but it's different. That's definitely. When we started, we didn't think about, going on the internet and stuff. Mm-hmm. And back then, we didn't have that much, chances with that. We just went and we played live concerts. We went on every town where we could play. So that and now now you can put everything on the internet. Everybody can look it up when they want, and it's easier a little bit. But it's also hard because today I don't think you can survive by selling CDs.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can, but you have to hit like millions of views on YouTube or Spotify. So it's different. Back then, we would make concerts, we would earn money, we would buy some equipment, or pay for the studio. It was it was a different time.
Actually, it's kind of brings us back to the whole live thing too, because performing live really is like the final frontier for performers, because it's the only place you can actually physically make money and ticket sales. Like, it just means so much more now than, right, than an album or like a single release would do. So yeah, that's neat. I really hope you guys get a chance to get back out there and do something live soon. My fingers are really crossed for you and for all artists.
Thank you.
It's so important.
Yeah,
and hopefully you guys get a drummer too. So listeners, listen up. If you're in Germany and you can drum,
yeah,
please get a hold of them. They've got, we're going to get into all your social medias and all that stuff after. So reach out and, get on it. So what are your plans for the rest of 2021 and going into 2022? Do you guys have a plan to release like another EP with like all your new re-recorded material, or are you gonna try and get a couple of concerts or a mini tour going? What's the plan?
Well, at the moment, I'm working on the next single. We actually recorded most of the stuff. It's just about mixing and doing the, preparations. She also needs to come in to do the vocals.
Exciting. Good job, Eileen. Get in there. Yeah.
And then
we need to record.
You need to record it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we need to record it. But I would really like to do at least one concert in this year, but we will see about that. It's pretty complicated, especially now when they are again, COVID fourth wave and so on. And of course, without the drummer, we can only do acoustic shows. And that was actually our plan. We wanted to do an acoustic video or, like an acoustic concert and stream it live. That was something that we would like to do, but we will see. Yeah, at the moment, I'm writing the new stuff. I'm working on this single that we plan to release. And 2021, we will have at least two more singles released. That's what I know for sure.
That's so exciting. Wow, I can't wait. That's going to be great. Actually, it'd be really interesting to hear how the music will change a bit when it's acoustic. I think that'd be really different and a really cool kind of a different shift for you guys, because a lot of your stuff, actually the song we're gonna talk about next, Future Obsessions, is definitely more of like a hard rock kind of feel, but it's got this really cool mix because you got Eileen's, like we were talking about this earlier a bit, Gora, I'm gonna use your word, it was a bit more of like a romantic kind of vocal, which is super cool. So actually, Eileen, do you want to talk a little bit about Future Obsessions and how you approached the song and how you were singing it? What were you thinking about?
To this song, Future Obsession, as we recorded it, I tried just to deliver how does it feels the song, the lyrics of the song. So we're just combining a little romantic voices on it and then with a little bit with that hard guitar on it. So I'm trying to deliver it that it's not really a hard rock song. So it will not come out that, oh, I don't like hard rock song, but if they're gonna listening this song, they have gonna be a mixed feeling. Oh, it sounds romantic, but it sounds a little bit rocky. And so that's how we are going to deliver that song to the crowds then. But it's really a very amazing song, which is hard to sing. And then in a way, I do my very best and I put all my emotions in it. And so that it comes the result for this recording of the Future Obsession, which I'm really satisfied with it, or we're all satisfied with it. Then,
yeah.
Right.
Very satisfied.
That's really a hard song.
It is for sure. It's good though. Actually, Goran, why don't you talk a little bit about how the song come to be for you? Because the vocals are one side of it, but because it's very romantic and a lot of emotion, but then the underpinnings of it, the hard rock and all those guitars and that kind of stuff. How did you come up with that idea?
Well, as I said, I'm a really big fan of Iron Maiden. And for years I've been using this approach, every song has to have like a lot of melodies, a lot of different riffs, and it needs to be like a masterpiece. And that's how I approached it. At first I had some chords and stuff, but I came up with some melodies to it, and then we added also this, which I really liked. That was amazing when she added this rap thing in the. It was a. I would never think about that song in that way, but it worked perfectly. Mm-hmm. And I played the guitars. My solo. I'm very proud of that solo. It's really cool stuff. Virtuoso solo. I like to, I've been playing for 20 years, so I like to put in some fast parts and stuff. It's not too impressive, but it's really good to show what you can do. So
yeah, I agree. And also I think it's really in service of the song. I mean, sometimes with some guitar solos, you can just tell the guitarist just wanking all over the place and it's just like, yeah, I'm going to show off now, which I mean, yes, that is kind of the point, but it definitely has to push the song somewhere, and I think you guys definitely accomplished that. You guys really nailed it with this one. So with that said, let's listen to Future Obsessions featuring Eileen Mondragon, released in 2021.
Truth inside.
and the song goes there. All right. Yeah. Okay. So, and we're back. All right. So just to wrap up this interview, if you guys could leave one message for all your fans out there, and I guess all of our listeners, what would it be? You guys are like passing it to each other. I love that.
okay.
No pressure.
Okay, just one word.
One message. Could be anything, like a whole sentence.
One message.
Yeah.
I think, it's just for me, it's just music was my first love, and it would ever be at the end. That's all.
Oh, love that. So simple, so to the point. I love it. Yeah. Goran, is there anything you'd want to say to like your fans or anything like that?
Well, I first want to say thank you to everyone for you know, who have heard our music, who liked it, and everyone who hasn't, maybe they will. And you should definitely give it a try. You know, it's very interesting. It's very progressive in a way. I think you can learn a lot of stuff from our music. I'm sure you would like it too.
Well, I'm sure they will, because they're going to hear a lot of it today. So that's perfect. And lastly, where can we find you? Where can all of our new wonderful listeners, all of our new wonderful fans find Chaops One on social medias and stuff?
Well, we have Facebook page. We have Instagram page. We also have YouTube channel. And we release everything with DistroKid. That's like a platform for release music. So yeah, you can find it all over the internet. It's in today's time, you can find everything online.
It's true. So make sure you guys go and Google. If you can just Google it, you'll find it. So K H E O P S one, the word one, not the number, O N E. So definitely go and check it out. And also, you can find them on Spotify too. So make sure you give them a stream and a listen. Thank you so much, you guys, for coming on today and speaking with me. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. Keep safe then.
Oh, yeah, yes. Thank you. Yes.
And healthy.
Yeah, you guys
too. All right.
Too.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
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 So listeners, if you enjoyed this episode, consider being a Patreon donor at jtop10.jp/club, starting at $1 a month, and you can support our podcast, and you also get this episode and all other ones ad and announcement free.
Now coming up, now next episode, we've got a very special Cultures episode. Our content producer, Nola, joins our former host, Anna, to try out some Japanese snacks, candy, and drinks. Do you have any favorite snacks, candy, or drinks?
That was a very very Britishy way of saying that. It was good. I like that. It was like, pick your options. Actually, very funny, actually. My partner and I just came back the other day from a Asian grocery store. It's not specifically Chinese, but it's very heavily Chinese. But they have Asian, Japanese stuff there, too. And we were in the candy aisle, and I was like, oh man, like all the stuff I'd seen, like they had Ramune, they had a bunch of Pocky and Glico, like, you know, all the products, Lottie products and all that stuff. So, I had to pick one. Oh, I don't know. Doshiokana. That's it. I love Ramune, though. It's such like a, you know, Natsukashi.
Yeah.
It's so... It really is the summertime.
Yes.
When you like get a Ramune and you slap the, you know, slam that marble down. It's pretty good.
I was going to say the same thing. I have a Japanese supermarket around the corner from me, and they sell Ramune. And our local Japanese restaurant also has it on their menu, but I'll always go for that when we go out for Japanese.
That's so sweet. Literally, Ramune is sweet. Do you like a certain flavor, or do you like the OG flavor?
Oh, the OG flavor. Yeah. What? There's other flavors? Wait.
Yeah, of course there is. There's other colors and stuff. Well, I shouldn't. Yeah, that's funny. Actually, when you were a kid, you know when you get like Freezies or ice pops? Yep. I guess maybe it's what they're called. So when you describe them to your friends, yeah, or you like pick what color flavor you want, you always set it by yeah color. You're like, I want the red one, I want the blue one, the white ones are the best ones, like fight me everyone. The white Freezy is the best flavored Freezy. I don't know what it's supposed to be. I think it's like blue raspberry or something, yeah, like that, but it's white. I don't know. Do you have a favorite Freezy flavor that you really
like? I do like the cola. Yeah, the brown one.
Cola. Yeah. I don't know if you had cola here. And like our original flavors, I think it was just like cherry, blue flavor, which what's blue flavor? Yeah. lemon, peach. Yeah, cola isn't like...
Oh, okay.
Unless you order like a specific version.
Maybe
of
that's an Australian thing then.
Ooh, yeah, maybe. Wow. Cola is delicious. Yeah. So, there you go.
Anyway.
So, yeah. Little digression.
Yes. So listen to what they have to say about these special treats in a week from now.
So yeah, please listen to that. And also make sure that you fill out our survey for September and check out our 400th episode coming out very, very, very soon at the end of September, early October. So keep your ears
peeled.
That's
very exciting.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. It should be a really good time. And I'm going to interview Dean for this episode.
Surprise!
Yeah. Hey! Little sneaky preview from me, Edward, and...
And Dean!
That was not our outro.
Oh, that's sorry! Okay.
We like to do. No, it's okay. That was a joke. That was a joke. Leave it in. It's good. It's good. Jason, leave it in. Okay. So I hope you guys enjoyed our Japan Top 10 Indie Artist Interview number 9 episode. I'm your host, Edward.
And I'm Dean.
We'll see you next time.
Jane! Bye-bye! Bye-bye!
Bye-bye! Bye-bye! Oh, Lucky Star. I love Lucky Star.
Right.
Japan Top 10. The number one Japanese music podcast.
Want to get smarter about investing? Then tune in to the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, home of American Funds Distributors, Inc., one of the world's leading asset managers. Each week, we bring you stock market outlooks, macroeconomic updates, and investment strategies that can help you succeed. Learn from portfolio managers with decades of experience about how they navigate uncertain markets. Prepare to be engaged, enlightened, and entertained by listening to the Capital Ideas podcast today.
Wilson, you sent the game-winning email at the buzzer, avoiding a 4:55 meeting on everyone's calendar. How did you do it?
I got a huge assist from Grammarly, an AI writing partner that helped me make my point.
96% of Grammarly users say that it helps them craft more impactful writing. Would you agree?
Grammarly helped adjust my tone to navigate tough work conversations. And it works everywhere I write, so I can quickly communicate effectively.
Your teammate used Grammarly to summarize an important document, making a three-pointer. How did he do it?
It only took one click. When everyone uses Grammarly, everything just makes sense.
You made an incredible slam dunk to end the game. The meeting was canceled, and your team will go home champions. Go to grammarly.com/podcast to download it for free. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.